Govardhan Puja 2012, New Vrindavan, afternoon lecture.
Sri Krishna comes to this world to play, and play he must. And he's playing for whose pleasure? For the pleasure of his devotees. He sings and he dances and he performs wonderful pastimes. His external purposes of coming to this world, annihilating the miscreants, re-establishing the principles of Dharma, encouraging and inspiring the righteous, are fulfilled as a secondary purpose of his prime motivation to play. And his lila unfolds as a divine drama, not for entertainment, but for the purification of the world. And the audience, who is so privileged as to witness and participate Krishna's lila, is enlisted as active participants in the drama, and they go on with it to the next universe when the curtains close on the stage in this world. Today we are observing a very important Vaishnava festival, Sri Govardhan Puja. Worship of Giri Govardhan. The worship of a mountain is a natural tendency of any religion or spiritual movement. Israelites worship Mount Moriah, Ishmaelites Mount Zion, for various reasons. What do mountains indicate, symbolize? Elevated states of consciousness, proximity with God. Also the heights of pride, the downside of a mountain indicates. Some mountains are worshipable because they serve as pivotal, axial points around which the consciousness evolves and rotates. The primary themes of a movement. And in Srila Prabhupada's mission of establishing Krishna consciousness in the West, in which he put a heavy emphasis on farm communities, where devotees could pursue his vision of living in harmony with nature, dependent on nature's bounty. Govardhan Hill is emblematic. echoing the sentiments of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna themselves. Why does Krishna inaugurate such a drama as the Govardhan Lila? To awaken our deeper sentiments, to churn our emotions, for the purpose of extracting the essence of our spiritual nature. We worship Damodar as the butter thief. What is the butter? Is the essence, the churned essence of milk. What is milk? It's the symptom, it's the product, it's the flow of affection. This day of Govardhan Puja was previously the day of Indra Puja. And for generations, the Brijavasis had been worshipping Indra. And Krishna had no objection to that. Until Indra forgot that he was being honored as a representative of Krishna. And he took the worship to be for himself, not for whom he represented. So Krishna comes to annihilate the miscreants. Indra is a great devotee. But he fell prey to the pride that precedes the fall. And to protect Indra more than to protect the Brijavasis, Krishna inaugurated this Govardhan Puja by questioning Nanda Maharaj. What is this arrangement? And he explained the worship of Indra, who provides the rains which are so necessary to our flocks and ourselves. This represents the principle of utilitarian work. On the basis of mundane cooperation between the members of society for the safety and well-being of the world, and the greatest good of society. Krishna appeared in this world to promote exclusive devotion for himself, to which Indra retaliates. And Krishna demonstrates in turn the perfect protection offered to his servants, especially to Indra. And he utilized the imminent disaster to fulfill the deepest aspirations of his servants, offering us that assurance that no harm can befall the servants of Krishna, even if, for the sake of his pleasure, our ordinary duties may be neglected or abandoned, for which the consequence may unfold as the destruction of the world, which was imminent in the face of the wrath of Indra. Even the cosmic law is not binding on the devotees, whom Krishna himself protects. They are only bound by the rope of spiritual attachment. When Krishna descended to this world to play, he found that his playground was contaminated by a poisonous jamuna and fierce forest fires and an angry Indra. So he had to adjust everything for the sake of his lila, and all impediments needed to submit and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reestablished, actually it was, might have been before he, followed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, reestablishing the principle of Govardhan Puja. And as Mahaprabhu was circumambulating Giriraj, he was continually reciting that verse. Same one he was singing as he ran after the Chatak Parvat in Jagannath Puri. Repeating the words of Srimati Radharani, questioning her associates, actually answering the question she posed to her associates. Amongst all great devotees who are called Haridas, who is the best? The answer of all devotees, Govardhan Hill is the best. He alone is Haridas who deserves the epithet Varya, the very best of devotees. Of all devotees, Govardhan Hill is the best. All my friends, this hill provides Krishna and Balaram, along with all their associates, with all their necessities, pure crystalline water for drinking, very soft grass for the cows, caves for protection and pleasure pastimes, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. Being touched and blessed by the lotus feet of Sri Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. And these natural gifts of waterfalls and vegetation growing, crystalline lakes, morning dew, grass, which is the favorite not only of Raja's cows, but the horses of heaven. These are his ecstatic symptoms, which he shares with the devotees, making them ecstatic as well. This question and answer was posed by Srimati Radharani when she awoke, and her associates washed her feet and face and rearranged her clothing and hair, decorated her face so exquisitely. And as her yearning to meet Krishna was rising, and she glanced across the landscape, seeking some sign of the presence of her beloved Krishna, reflecting on memories of the sweet encounters of yore, the sound of his holy name reverberated so sweetly from her lips, and as if tasting the nectar of Krishna's lila, within the sound of the Maha Mantra, the influence of her love cast its spell at her associates and the countryside, and a golden aura engulfed the region in celestial splendor. And a strategy evolved within her mind, and she posed the question, like a dwarf seeking to cross the vast ocean without a suitable vessel, a jiva seeking the association of Krishna must seek the shelter of a great soul. So who is the greatest of all the devotees? She answered the question, Giriraj, who saved us from the wrath of Indra, who is the source of our good fortune, for whom exclusively the epithet Paradise Varya is reserved. And with deep regard, with a lotus hand, she gestured in the direction of Govardhan. And although he was far, far away, out of sight from the moon tower in Abhimanyu's courtyard, Govardhan appeared just outside the window to award his darshan, and more so, to achieve the darshan of the gopis due to their deep regard for him. And Indulekha questioned, if you're asking and stating who is the very best of the devotees, does this not constitute a transgression of etiquette by minimizing all the other devotees? To which Tungavidya justified that Srimati Radharani is a source of all Vedic wisdom. And what she is posing is quite appropriate, because Giriraj is Krishna in the form of a devotee, as is Lord Gauranga, Krishna in the form of a devotee. So by saying he's the best devotee is quite accurate. The best servant is the Lord himself, and glorifying him, all other servants benefit, as in watering the root of the tree, all the branches, twigs, and flowers are nourished and benefited. And then they spend a long time discussing and verifying that Giriraj is the best devotee by describing how his astrasattika bhavas are his natural gifts. Which furthermore serve internally by inspiring great devotees with the poetic merit to broadcast his glories throughout the universe, which sprinkle the immortal nectar of Krishna Katha to preserve and save the lives of all souls who are parched in the conflagration of material conflicts known as samsara. After glorifying Govardhan Hill for some time, he receded back to Radhakund, far out of sight. And separation ensued amongst the gopis. And Lalita Devi directed Rupa Manjari to engage Rati, who was known as Tulsi Manjari, amongst her intimate friends, in songs of Govardhan Lila. Because she is the most well-versed in the glories and seva of Govardhan, and she becomes Raghunath Das Goswami, the steward of Govardhan in Chaitanya Lila for that reason. She began glorifying Govardhan with the appearance of Manasaganga, born of the desire of Nanda Maharaj to go on pilgrimage to Ganga. Smiling graciously, Krishna said, she's here. And then, enjoying pastimes on her shores when the gopis were feeling such separation from Krishna that they were just chanting, Hari Dev, Hari Dev, Hari Dev. And he appeared before them as a seven-year-old boy, holding flute in his right hand and Govardhan Hill in his left, to become enshrined in a temple there. Ganga, the path leads to Dangati, and from there to Anayor, onward to Govindakund, where Indra performed the Abhishek for Krishna, with Airavata bathing him in Ganga water, Surabhi in milk, and the Brijabasis adding flowers and tulsi manjaris, filling Govindakund with the Charnamrita of Krishna's Abhishek, led by Rama. Down to the tail of the metaphorical peacock forming Govardhan at Punchali, adorned with Apsaravan and Apsarakund, where for the pleasure of the gopas, Krishna revealed his many Vishnumurti forms. Sri Ram, enchanting everyone with his pastimes, and Varaha, terrifying everyone as he tore up the earth. And as Radha and Krishna dance without limitation until they reach the very end of Govardhan and there's no further to go, and their hearts melt in ecstasy, they fill the kundas of Chakratirtha and Apsaravan, from where Parikrama path leads back to Manasaganga, where that fateful boat journey transpired, crossing over with the young helmsman with a long coat and the old boat, who was the source of both anxiety and shelter of the gopis, who crowded into that old vessel like beautiful, colorful flowers arranged in an antique vessel. And in the middle of crossing over, ominous clouds, fierce winds, huge waves threatened that the boat would sink. And as it took on water with the help of the helmsman, he declared they had to cast overboard all their goods, their butter, their yogurt, their vessels, their ornaments, their decorations, and still the boat was sinking. And only when they took shelter of the captain and pulled out from under his long coat the mischievous flute, they understood. Coming down from Manasaganga back to Krishna Sarovar is Uddhavakund, where Krishna's cousin, intimate friend and devoted disciple, is awaiting to this day the treasure of the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis upon his head. And though time stood still as they discussed the glories of Govardhan, they could not conclude anything beyond Shiva Kori and Kadeshwar Mahadev as they approached the glories of Radhakund and Shyamakund. Our time is up. 5 more minutes. I thought Swiss time looked like a clock, but apparently it doesn't. Toward the end of their discussion, as the gopis were seeking shelter from the separation of Krishna that's threatening their lives, shelter in the topics of the glories of Giriraj, there was one question that was yet to be answered, because during the 7 days, there was an inner circle and an outer circle, and there were there's something going on in the outer circle that the inner circle wasn't aware of. They were deriving great pleasure from something they perceived on the outside of the parasol, which is the umbrella over the man. What was going on there? And they said that, explained that when furious Indra, hearing that the assault of the Sarvata clouds did not annihilate Raja, he came zooming in on Airavata fiercely, leading full battle formations, fully confident in his superior military might, when suddenly he and his Airavata were paralyzed and became immobile in the sky and just dangling there like some kind of toy, suspended by strings in the air. And the gopis were laughing, and Indra was humbled, and he tried to move, but he couldn't go forward. All he could do is turn around and run away on Airavata, who fled like a tail, like a dog with his tail between his legs. And then after, in this contrast, the sweetness of Gopinarjuna with what Krishna says, well, not what Krishna says, what happened in Gita, when Arjuna witnessed the universal form, which he wanted to see, and seeing that display of Aishwarya led Arjuna to question and doubt whether his friendly dealings with Krishna had been appropriate. In the realm of Aishwarya, the opulence of Krishna may overshadow the intimate feelings of friendship and love, but in Braja, affection never suffers such an experience. As we see, when Krishna told the Brijavasis, you can leave the shelter of the hill now and go home, nobody wanted to leave. But one by one, the different groups, he encouraged you can go. But the gopis couldn't leave because they were still perfectly convinced that they were holding up the hill with their sticks. And Krishna said, now you can go because I have to let it down. He said, no, you have to go because we're going to let it down. And they got into an argument about who was actually holding up the hill. So they argued with Krishna. And then he let the hill down just a little bit. And a very slight bit of the weight came down upon their sticks, and those gopas all fell down prostrate. And then they chastised Krishna. You should have given us some warning that you were going to do that. They reprimanded Govinda. While others made futile attempts to raise it up again. And as Champaklata concluded her portion of the narrations of the wonderful pastimes of Govardhana, the gopis all raised their left palms into the air as if participating in the lila of holding Giridhar. So in contrast to Aishwarya in Madhurya, despite the ultimate display of Krishna's majesty, the intimacy of love evoked in his servants was never diminished, only enriched, as the essence of prema was extracted and condensed and crystallized all the more into the Chintamani, which marks the various